when the scripture talks about remembering, it sometimes connects it to God's faithfulness and sometimes to another command, to fear not. Fear not is actually one of the most frequently repeated commands in Scripture, which probably tells us we're a little prone to fear. But when the Scriptures say to us, fear not, they don't just give us a blanket instruction, they give us reasons why we should not need to fear. There's a whole host of them. Don't have time to get into them. You have them listed on your outline with some passages you can look up for your own study. Here are a half a dozen. We do not need to fear because God is with us, Joshua chapter 1. Because God comforts us, Isaiah chapter 51. Because God is able and sufficient, He will provide, protect, and deliver us, Jeremiah. Because He is sovereign and in control, according to Acts 27. Because He is our provider and our helper. Because He is faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5, examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. And may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete and without blame to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For faithful is He who calls you, and He will bring it to pass. There are ways in which God reveals His faithfulness to us or calls us to faithfulness in the New Testament, in just our daily life, in our walk, in the face of temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In the midst of persecution, Revelation chapter 2, let me read that. It says, do not fear what you are about to suffer, for behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, and that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. But be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Because God is faithful, He invites us to be His faithful followers. They sort of build and grow upon each other. Like the indicatives that we talked about that define who God is, the commands come in and say, and this is how we live out God's character. So because God is faithful, He also calls us to live faithful. Has God been faithful in your past? Is God faithful in your present? I'm not quite sure. Let me try that again. Has God been faithful in your past?
Yes.
Thank you. And is He faithful in your present?
Yes.
And will He be faithful in your future?
Yes.
Absolutely. Which means we are capable of not fearing and trusting God in the midst of things that come to us, challenges, opportunities, and new experiences. And I'm glad you came confidently with me to answer those questions. Because we have together a new opportunity in which to put them to work. For a period of time, I have been walking through a road of fear not and watch God be faithful. And we are about to embark on that journey together. There is a new chapter coming for Cayucas Community Church. A couple of months ago, in a meeting with the elders, I let them know that Bonnie and I felt it was at this time in the best interest of this church family for us to hand off the pastoral leadership to a younger, more dynamic pastor. Someone who could step in and build on the things that are and take the church family to places that it has not yet been. You can debate that with me, but I have a whole list of reasons why I think this is in the church's best interest. We'll talk about those a little bit more in the days to come. We've all known this day would come. Every pastor is in a succession plan from the moment he begins his ministry. We probably understand that better than our congregations do. And I think most of you understood that a day was coming when this old body was going to lay it down. I have told the elders for some time now that when that day came, I wanted it to be when I was at the top of my ministry, not descending. My little visual picture is, I refuse to be Albert Pujols. For those of you who don't know baseball, you can go look it up. For those of you that need a quick introduction, he took a $110 million a year contract and produced almost nothing. I've watched churches suffer when pastors stay too long, when pastors wait until it becomes obvious they need to quit, when it's past time for them to have said, God is big enough and God is sufficient enough to raise up other shepherds. This is His church. It does not belong to any human being. And my heart's desire has been to do that when the church was in its healthiest and strongest state, to be able to anticipate together the future that I believe is very bright and that God is going to produce for this church family and for this community. A lot of my colleagues at the conclusion of the COVID season, after suffering through a lot of trials and turmoils and practically reinventing ourselves as preachers and leaders, said, I'm out. I never felt that God gave me permission to do that. Instead, He gave me a drive to see our church family come through that season and come out the other side in a healthier, better, stronger, more trusting, and more ready position for God to make a change. And I think we've gotten to that. Now, the truth of the matter is, though a lot of this is driven by our desire to finish this well, there are also things going on in our lives that compel us to say, okay, maybe God has a new adventure for us. I've had my moments when I've said, God, you can put that on pause for a while, but they are yet compelling. We have in ways asked our family to support us and bear with us for nearly 50 years of ministry when we've devoted our hearts to shepherding God's people. Some of you are going to say, oh, so you're retiring. Well, I'm not retiring. I'm redeploying. I'm redeploying to new assignments that will not have with them the full responsibility of senior leadership for a church family that Bonnie and I have shared together for the last 40 plus years. And if I roll it back a little bit farther than that, for about the last 46 or 7 years of our life, we have been devoted to preparing ourselves to serve the kingdom of God and His people and to shepherd a church family to which He would assign us. At some point in time, we knew He would say, I've got something different for you. Next Sunday at our congregational meeting, we are going to lay out for you things that the elders have been working prayerfully through for the last 2 months, so that we have a plan already in place for the interim period and some direction for where the process will go to find another shepherd for this church family. Everybody probably wants to know when this is going to happen and then shut up so we can leave. So here we go. That's been one of the challenging pieces of this part of the journey, is to say, okay, God, exactly how do we do this? When do we do it? For how long? My own experience is the so-called lame duck pastors do not serve their churches best when they stay a long time after they've made it known that it's ready for their replacement to be found. Some of my friends and colleagues have done that. Their churches have managed. That wasn't what seemed right for us. So we've been working with the elders for 2 months. We have a couple of more months that we want to spend with you, and we're anticipating that the last Sunday of September will be our final Sunday here. I have 8 more Bible greats. Actually, I have about 30. But I have 8 that we are going to address, which I truly believe are going to help us on this journey. We're going to start next week with great transitions. And there are several of them in the scriptures, and they carry with them really grand insights for how we navigate times of change and difficulty. Bonnie and I are also asking for your prayers for us. Certainly we need you praying for yourselves and for the church family. But this is something we've never done before. It requires for us a change of location. It requires for us uprooting from a place that we have loved for 16 years. Bonnie keeps reminding me that she has to find a new pastor. We have seen God's faithful hand through all of these years of ministry, amid many trials and tribulations and a couple of major changes. We are convinced He is faithful. We are convinced He will be faithful to this church family. We are convinced that you will grow in this journey. Growth is not always comfortable. We'll get into that a little more later. But it is always productive. It is always about bringing about good things that God wants for us. And so our encouragement to you is, lean hard into remembering who God is. Remembering His past faithful works in your life and in this church and in many others like it. And fix your heart and hope upon Him. At the meeting next week, the elders will lay out a bunch of details. We will ask for some permissions, but it might encourage you to know this much at the moment. Pastor Steve Pruitt has agreed to be the interim preacher during this period. So you will have somebody that you know and love and that who loves you and carries you in his heart to shepherd you along during the time of transition. Andrew and his crew will still be with us. He has committed to that, although it will be with a little less fiddling around. And until then, God's calling upon us, each of us, in our various places, roles, and acts of service, hasn't changed a whit. He's still on the throne. He's still doing in and through you what He wants to do. In fact, He's depending on you to continue to serve Him with the same heart, the same energy, the same focus, and the same joy that we have done it together. So, if He is worthy, and He is faithful, how can we be any less? So let's do this together for His praise. Pray with me. God, You are the God of wisdom, and I ask that in this coming season You would bring new understanding and new pathways, that we would see Your hand in ways we could not even anticipate, that we would rejoice in how You guide and direct hearts and minds. You are the God of comfort. Change always brings about a measure of discomfort. So we thank You that You are the one who steadies and rests our hearts. You have revealed Yourself as the God of peace. So wherever we might find ourselves with anxieties or fears or uncertainties, would You please quiet our spirits? And You are the God of transformation. That means You are committed to change. That means You are committed to take any circumstance in which we find ourselves and use it to bring about the change that You desire in us and through us. So we throw our hearts and minds and wills upon You, and we ask, Lord, that out of this would come great praise to Your name, that You would deserve what You, that You would receive what You deserve, and that we would become more and more like Jesus in the process. And we thank You that You are the faithful God, and therefore we need not fear. I'd like to close with this benediction from the book of Hebrews. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. May He equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen and amen.